Greetings, gentlemen. A marvelous day to you, Matt Deucevault brothers, and welcome. Latin. I once asked my dad about learning Latin, because he learned it as a young boy, how far the public school system fell. He was telling me a little bit about it, and I was like, man, my aptitude for language learning is not up there. Mr. Max, welcome, brother. Shelby, welcome, brother. Good afternoon, kings. Absolute machines, frankly. So I was just asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, what do I speak on today? And, you know, this kind of, I think there's, you know, there's highs. We ride the highs of the news cycle. We ride the highs of, you know, the seasonal, you know, we follow nature's seasons. And I also feel that there are lows and valleys, you know, the kind of thing of, you know, everyone can have a vision. Everyone can get excited. Everyone can get hyped. Everyone can have a victory. But then the next day you have to get up and do it again. And you have to keep going and keep working and keep the long game grind. One must imagine Sisyphus happy. And so today, chaps, I just wanted to, you know, really get into that. Give us a bit of courage, you know, because I feel a lot of us have been grinding at things. There's projects in our lives we're going hard at. There's relationships that we're maintaining. There's community. There's all sorts of work. As men, work is good. Work is a good thing. And so today, I just wanted to encourage you again to see yourselves rightly, to see yourselves with a worldview framed by God, how God sees us. What more apt a place in the Bible? You know, this whole thing, I think growing up, you're like, oh, the Bible doesn't really apply to my life. The Bible's, you know, some old story, blah, blah, blah. Life is so comfortable. You know, the Bible's old and non-applicable. You know, and then we get to 2021 and we're like, welcome to biblical times, gentlemen. You know, and it's like, you start reading Abraham, you start reading Joseph, David, and you're like, whoa, no way. This is like my life. Andrew Quinn, welcome, brother. Austin About. Well, very clever name I see there. Very good. Welcome, brother. Monkey God, welcome, brother. And RJJ, welcome, brother. Mr. Max, I have learned Latin in high school. Well, go off then, Latin King. I think it would be very valuable. You know, a lot of legal terminology is in Latin, I'm sure, and then scientific terminology as well. RJJ, back in Bible times. No, wait, that's now. That's right, gentlemen. Welcome to biblical times. And so I thought I'd start there. You know, I'd start with what is like the most well-known psalm. You know, if you had to say to the average rando cultural Christian, you know, do you know a psalm? And they'll be like, oh yeah, Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, cool, cool. And so I've never been one for popular scripture, popular, you know. I kind of feel it's like those Twitter accounts who go around just saying like, you know, normal, sane things that everybody should do. And they're like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, 10,000 retweets. And you're like, what? You know? And I kind of always felt that way growing up about like Psalm 23, of like, everyone has said it so much, but there's no application. There's no reality. There's no, you know. But then when you start studying David's life, when life starts becoming biblical, you start getting it like, okay, David wrote this. And it makes a lot of sense when you start understanding David's life. So Psalm 23, the Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That two lines that are like, okay, this makes a lot of sense. The whole thing of walking through the shadow of the valley of death, or the valley, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, that is the number one, you know, we are in this low grade civil war, cultural war, tribal resource war, where right now death looks like social death, economic death, you know, social rejection, social shame. It's our ethnic weakness is social shame, you know, learning to die to ourselves as Christians in, you know, Western white Christians, die to ourselves, die to our, you know, for so long the liberal Christian preached, we've got to die to our ego. You know, we've got to become nothing so that we can serve others, and, you know, all this kind of false humility talk, right? Real humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. Real humility is, you know, because a lot of people are like, you know, for you to say, I am a king that Christ is king of, they're like, oh, you prideful bastard. Repent. Humble yourself before the Lord. And it's like, no. Humility is taking God at his word. Humility is not, because here is a form of pride. I am beyond Christ's blood. I am beyond, like, you know, Christ said about me that if I will only believe, I will only take him at his word, that if I will only repent and call on his name, that I would be saved. You know, that if I would just eat his body and drink his blood, that if I would think of myself rightly, that I am clean. I'm clean, bro. You know, that is offensive to the Pharisees of our day, the liberal soy boys of our day. You know, if you had to say to them, I'm clean, bro. I'm righteous. I am a saint. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer an orphan. I'm no longer a wretch. I am a king that Christ is king of. That is true humility. Humility is understanding that I am a son. Humility is understanding that I am a bride. You know, if my wife had to be like, oh, I'm just a wretch. You know, I've wronged my husband, you know, all this stuff, and then be like, I'm no longer his wife. I must humble myself. I'm no longer worthy of being his wife. I'd be like, did you ask me about any of this? You know, humility is rightly understanding God's view of ourselves, rightly understanding Jesus' blood sacrifice for us. Pride is saying his blood sacrifice wasn't enough for my life. You don't understand what I've done, Scott. You don't understand how much of a wretched bastard I was, you know, or still am. You don't understand. You know, Christ's blood is just not powerful enough to save me. He can save you, but, you know, you're light source. You're weak source. But when it comes to sinning, mate, let me tell you, I'm the real deal. Christ hasn't seen anyone like me. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm too humble to actually accept his blood, because it's just not powerful enough for me. You know, that is true pride, right? The flip side of pride is condemnation. You know, just like we have a cultural low-grade civil war, most of us, 99% of us, have an identity low-grade condemnation. We have this low-grade, oh God, you don't understand what I've done, you know. Oh Jesus, you paid for me to become righteous, but, you know, I fluffed it. I messed it up. And we have this low-grade condemnation. And that's why it's so amazing to look at David, to look at Abraham. You know, was it Moses who wrote about himself that he was the most humble man? what a boss. You know, what an absolute boss. Like, I am the most humble man I know. And it's like, yeah, you can say that. You know, you can say that, because it's like, I take God at his word. That is humility. I take God at his word. I have a low-grade blessing. A low-grade, what's the opposite of condemnation? Yeah, blessing. Approval. There we go. I have a identity, low-grade approval that just follows me all around. And so here's the scripture on this. This is freaking David, chaps. This is David, the absolute bastard who murdered a guy, banged his wife, murdered him, and then married that wife, and then made that wife's son the next king, screwing over his other children. You know, you can frame it like that. It's not like that. But you can frame it like that. You know, if you think what you've done has messed up relationships, has messed up your family, has messed up friends, it's like, you know, Uriah and David, Uriah was probably one of the guys who were with David right from the beginning, right from in the desert. He probably saved David's life in a battle. He probably, you know, loved David with all his heart. So this guy, this David, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, so many of us are like, oh Lord, that I could just be at the door of your house. Oh, if I could just see your house, Lord. And it's like, no. Like David was like, no, I'm in the house. I'm in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I have a low grade blessing for the rest of my life. We have to understand this, chaps. We have to take on this David mindset, this David energy. We have to take on this Abraham mindset, this Abraham energy. It says of Abraham in Genesis 15. So Abraham goes out to rescue his brother, his nephew slash brother, his nother, his brethew. There we go. I like that. He goes out to rescue his brethew from a bunch of oligarchs. Comes up at night with his 300 operators. You know, that's the kind of local economy we should be building towards, gentlemen. You know, to have 300 absolute operators to be part of your local economy, to be part of your tribe, to be part of your clan. It's pretty decent. Anyway, they set up a night attack. Take out these four oligarchs, trash their crap, steal all their stuff, get their people back, and come back, right? And it was all well and good in the moment. You know, he was operating out of familial duty of like, crap, my brethren has put me in a bind. You know, when one of your guys who you're ride or die with, whether it's family, whether it's one of your close friends who you're ride or die with, when they make you pick between looking bad for some in front of someone else and taking their spot, or just being like, oh, I'm not going to do anything. That's the spot that Lot put Abraham in. You know, he's like, I'm living at peace with these four big shots. You know, I'm living at peace with these four oligarchs. But now my brother went and caused some crap, or he was unwise. My brethren, he was unwise. He should have left the city. I've been podcasting for almost 8 months now. Lot, you need to leave the city. Lot, you need to start prepping. Lot, you need to start some tribal institutions. You're not using your wealth, Lot. Lot, you're a wealthy man. Start taking over some institutions. Lot, what are you doing in that city? And the brethren didn't listen. You know, the brethren didn't listen. And so the brethren gets, you know, there's a BLM riot. The oligarchs instigate some crap. And Lotiapolis gets trashed. And Lot's, you know, taken captive and he's in a bind. And so Abraham's like, ride or die, family first, ride or die, let's go. And he goes and he saves his brethren, gets him back. But when he gets back home, he's like, he starts taking stock of the second order effects, the downstream effects of what has just happened. You know, he's just said that he's just gone public against four very big oligarchs. He's just offended four very big news organizations. He's just snubbed four very big bureaucrats. You know, these are the kind of decisions that Lot put Abraham into. And so Genesis 15, what's next? You know, what's next? In the life of Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham." Or at that stage, it was Abram, like the tank. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." I am your shield. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. This is an interesting mindset for us to understand. So many of us, we're afraid to do stuff. We're afraid to make big moves. We're afraid to live the patriarch life. You know, that whole, look, everyone wants to be a patriarch. Ain't nobody want to make no patriarch moves. And so I just want to encourage you today, chaps, David and Abraham, getting into this mindset for our current life. You know, because right now, man, the media organizations are running insane demoralization propaganda, demoralization crap. And even for us dudes who don't watch the news, we don't watch the crap, we don't follow the journalists, it's still shared into your news feeds. It's still, you know, spoken about by all the normies. It's, you know, it's like you can't get away from the demoralization crap. The insane governmental edicts, the insane cultural blowback of low-grade civil war, cultural war, tribal resource wars. You know, we ride this tension. We get exhausted. We get a little bit wary in our spirit. You know, Lord, could I just have a rest? Could I just, like, I just want a safe place, you know? The libertarian yearning comes on strong. Like, God, you know, should I just move to Thailand? You know, just move to Vietnam? You know, just go be an expat, you know, living rich on $2,000 a month in Vietnam? It sounds nice. You know, it sounds nice. But you're being a victim. You know, you're being a Lot. You know, Lot escaped being a patriarch to go be a soy latte boy at the Whole Foods because it was nice. He didn't want to say no to the institutions in that city. He didn't want to move away from that city. He was a victim. You know, and we are called to be patriarchs. We're called to say, God, I am your man. God, you know, this should be a prayer of our hearts, guys. God, I will be your top guy. I want to be one of your top guys. And Lord, I thank you that I'm a man after your own heart. You know, that's what it said about David. Even with all of his crap, even with all of his character flaws, even with all of his stuff that went on in his life, David was a man after God's heart. Lord, I will be a man after your heart. You know, in Proverbs 16:9, thank you, Lord, that you are directing my steps. Because so many of us, chaps, myself included, we get this anxiety of like, oh, I don't know if I'm in the right place. God, am I in the right place? God, is this what I should be doing? God, is this where I should go? God, what must I do? You know, God, am I going to miss it? God, am I going to miss the boogaloo? Am I going to miss the prepping? You know, and we get all this fear. And that's where God says to us, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. It's like, whoa, I'll do anything for you, Jesus. You know, that has to be our heart, chaps. It's like, God is directing my, it's not a question. It's a statement. God is directing my steps. Your response to that is thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are directing my steps. That is a great mindset, a great space to be in. Thank you, Lord, that you are my shield. You know, anytime you get anxious about being doxxed, about losing your job, about social rejection, about physical assassination, whatever it is, Lord, thank you that you are my shield. That is taking God at his word. Now the burden of performance is on God. It's not on me. It's on God. My burden is to be faithful with what he's put on my heart. Proverbs 69, a man plans a way in his heart. The Lord directs his steps. What is it that God has put on your hearts to do, lads? What is this gift that he's given you to give as unto the Lord? Whether you're a one-talent man or a 10-talent man, we need to start living to the edge of the plans on our heart, living to the edge of giving our gift to our people in our place. It gets scary. You know, giving your gift means putting a target on your back. Living to the edge of the plans on your hearts It means coming up against opposition. It means walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's where we're like, thank you, Lord, that you are my shield and my very great reward. I work as unto the Lord, not for social approval, not for, you know, my own glory or whatever. Like, that's fine. God's happy with you getting glory. But I don't work for my own glory. I work as unto the Lord. I work to the glory of the Lord. You know, that is us giving our gift. Because that's the whole pride crap that comes in. It's like, oh, you bastard, you just want to be famous. You just want to be like Donald Trump. You just want to be wealthy and you are selfish and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, nope, wealth, land, power, significance, influence. You work those tools as unto the Lord. Imagine if a man with a heart after God, such as yourself, a sincere man, who says, God, I want to be your top guy. Well, imagine if you were wealthy, how much better your local area would be. Imagine if you were influential, how much better your local area would be. Imagine if you were skilled and absolutely giving your gift because you weren't afraid of other people's criticisms or rejections or attacks. Imagine how much better your local area would be. That is patriarch mindset. We are to be patriarchs to our local area. You know, patriarchs are not victims. A victim goes, oh, the news cycle. Oh, you won't believe the news. You know, oh, enemies, oligarchs. Oh, the city. Oh, lot. You know, like all this crap's going on in my life. And it's like, chaps, it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel tired. It's okay to feel bruised and beaten. It's okay to take punches, take hits. It's okay to fall, slip, make mistakes. But we're never victims in that. You know, David gets chased out to the desert. That's, you know, he loses everything. You don't live in that defeat. You don't live in that victimhood. You don't call it a day. I'm leaving to Cyprus. I'm going to Cyprus to go live my Vietnam life. No. What is it that God has put on your heart to do? I may have been defeated today. I may have lost everything today. But tomorrow, I get back on track toward my vision. I get back on track to what God has put me on this earth to do. And it's God who directs my steps. You know, I don't need the things I think I need. I need faith in God. That's what I need, as it were. John, it's an awesome psalm to be sung with a warlike tune, not a funeral tune. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He doesn't leave us to navigate our own paths. Johan, welcome, brother. We all want him to return, but we must work to ensure we are ready for him. That's it, man. You know? God, Jesus, don't leave us. It is better that I go. It is better that I go so that I may send you a comforter. Why a comforter? Because we're going to be out doing uncomfortable things. Johan, what's your opinion on reverence to Mary? I actually had a good chat with a Catholic brother the other day. You know, obviously, Mary was counted faithful. You know, if we revere Paul and we revere Peter, we have reverence towards them for being faithful men. We must also have reverence towards Mary for being a faithful woman. So when the angel appears to her and says, you shall be with child, she says, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. That is one of the most faithful, apart from the centurion and the woman with the issue of blood, I think, or the Samaritan woman, one of the two. Apart from them, that is one of the statements of absolute most faithfulness recorded in the Bible. You know, the centurion says, I am a man under authority. I say to someone, come, they come. I say to someone, go, they go. A man over authority says to me, come, I come. He says, I go. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, I have not seen faith like this on all the earth. To the angel, let it be according to your word. You know, what a faithful, one of the most faithful statements ever made. Now, as to her divinity, I'm not a galaxy brain, so I'm not gonna opine. I really don't have much of an opinion. Matt, so much of our battle is moral, keeping our men from routing. All it takes is a handful of men with unbreakable will to turn the tide of battle, i.e. the Crusaders breaking the siege of Antioch. Man, you tell 300 dudes that God is on their side, you will absolutely wage war knowing that God is on your side. This is what I'm getting at, chaps. We have to understand God is with us. God is with us. You tell 10,000 men that they are cursed, that the gods are against them, that there is an omen of death flying over the camp, their hearts will melt. That's the media. That's propaganda. That is the journalist in the tree. Chaps, I'm telling you right now, we have to live with this mindset, this low-grade, subconscious mindset of I am blessed. God sets a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That is gloating. That is gloating. So I want to read this, Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. This is the biggest issue here, chaps. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, which means we have to face them. We cannot run away. We cannot hide. We cannot be victims. You know, it says of the Israelites when they're walking through the desert before they could get to the promised land, God says of them in one of the Psalms, he says, you turned back in your hearts. You have said they are greater than I. How can I dispossess them? And you turned back in your hearts. This is God saying, if you, the Israelites, say that I, God, cannot dispossess them, your hearts have melted and you have turned back. In other words, our position as agents of God, as kings that Christ is king of, is to take God at his word, to go to the river, to cross into the promised land, to go for the institution, to go for the project, to go for the relationship, to go for the work that you have in your heart to work. And to not say in our hearts, oh, these enemies are too great for me. How can God dispossess them? We have to face our enemies that God can dispossess them, that God can rout them. We have to be doing stuff. This is Jonathan and his army. He's like, let's go pick a fight. And if God is with us, he will deliver them into our hands. And if not, then we're counted faithful. We die faithful. You know, this is those four eunuchs refusing to bow before, to worship at the altar of, you know, the liberal empire, at the edicts of the liberal empire. And so they get threatened. If you don't kneel and kiss the ring and do the things, we'll throw you in the fire. And they're like, that's fine. If God is with us, then he will save us from the fire. And if not, we will die faithful. What a freaking Chad mindset. You know, chaps, we have to get to this place in our own life of God, I will take you at your word, even to my own harm, even to my own humiliation. That is the paper wall. It's the paper wall of death. And once we break through that paper wall of following God, of taking him at his word to our own harm or our own humiliation, that's when we find the promised land. That's when we live an absolute life, you know, flowing with milk and honey, as it were. We find the table set for us in the midst of our enemies. So operate your life as a patriarchal house. Operate your house with a friend-enemy distinction, right? We will look out for our friends like Abraham did for his brethren. And we will take ground from our enemies. We will trade peacefully with people. But if they encroach upon us, if they disrespect our God, like we will treat them as enemies. We will we will gatekeep them from our group, from our institutions. You have to live your life like Abraham in your place right now. You are the Abraham of your local area. You are the David of your local area. You are the Jonathan. You are the Joseph of your local area. You know, and that's it. This whole thing of David and Joseph is like, well, man, you don't understand. I feel like my life is trapped and I'm slave and blah, blah, blah of all these circumstances. So was Joseph. So was David. You still operate as if you are God's top guy. You still give your gift even in a freaking prison, even in a freaking desert, even in a backwater, whatever job, state, place you find yourself in. You give your gift as unto the Lord and you trust him to direct your steps. He is your shield and your very great reward. And then chaps, this thing of work. Work is a glorious thing, you know. The reason we get burned out on work is because we are working as unto ourselves for ourselves. God is our source. God is our shield and our great reward. God is our provider, our promoter, our protector. You know, it says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. All the things we're chasing through work. But we are to work through humility and fear of the Lord. And then all those other things will be taken care of for themselves. So what does it mean to work with humility? It's this whole thing, chaps. I am a king that Christ is king of. I have a gift to give. And I'm not going to have false humility. You know, I'm not going to be proud of like, oh, I'm not really good at anything. You know, if I had to ask you, what are you good at? I was like, oh, I'm not good at anything, brother. You know, I'm just, it's like, no. Humility, to work humbly, is to say, this is the domain that I have a heart for, a passion for. This is the work that I wish I could do. You know, I look at these three or four dudes and I wish I could do what they did. That is the work I would work as unto the Lord. Okay, well, what's stopping you from working it? Fear. Fear of what? Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of embarrassing yourself, fear of lack, fear of missing out, fear of being an imposter. You've got to work with humility of, Lord, I work as unto you. You are my shield and my great reward. You will provide for me as I walk this road. You will direct my steps as I make a plan in my heart. Chas, we've got to work with humility and fear of the Lord. So praise God. Gentlemen, I'm sweating like a pig in Palestine. And I pray you all have a great day, but I need to go and stand in the aircon. I love you boys. Keep your hearts up. Take courage. Work is unto the Lord. Go hard. Be humble. Fear the Lord only. And he will direct your steps. He is directing your steps. Love you boys. And we'll see you tomorrow.